Summer, what a day we are having today. Happy Easter to all of you. You know, as soon as this time of year comes, I get transported back in time to my grandmother's house for whatever reason. And I just remember as a kid, this massive table, which I'm sure today is just a regular kind of dining room table. But as a kid, it just seemed to go on forever, right? It was covered in such awesome food. And before we would have dinner, we would have an Easter egg hunt. And so they would go ahead and hide these little chocolate eggs all around the house and then release the kids to go and search for the eggs. And so you did your best to find them all, but it didn't matter how many eggs we found. Usually a year later, after the summer had come and gone, some of them were welded and mounted, you know, melted away in the August heat, and they looked a little twisted and deformed, but they weren't quite as tasty a year later. Let me verify that, because I did probably try that out, just to make sure. But nevertheless, a family time, right? So I think of family. So on behalf of ours to yours, happy Easter and welcome to our family. There's always room at our big long table for all of you. And today is a great day. It's probably the biggest celebration of the year for us. This is our fifth service of the day, and it's been fantastic. Two in Mandarin, three over here in our main campus. And how exciting. And then our Good Friday service, we had two on Good Friday. It's been just a fabulous, fabulous weekend, and it's still happening. You know, I believe the two most important days in all of human history are the day that Christ died on the cross and when he was resurrected from the dead. It has changed everything about our lives. God sent his son to a world that was bent on self-destruction, and he offered them a way out. And now to this moment in our day, that's incredibly awesome, fantastic news to know that that same power, that same life is available to you and I. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a God who is an old carved out of a tree. We serve a living, awesome God who's still doing miracles in our midst. I think one of my favorite Resurrection Day thoughts comes from the book of Romans. And I love the Bible. You know, but I didn't always love the Bible. I think that for many years in our home, the Bible was not something you read. It was something that you beheld, right? It was a massive book with doilies on it and candles, and nobody touched it. It was covered in dust most of the year. And it was a decorative element in the living room. And it was passed down through generations, but nobody cracked that book and read it. But I remember when I started to open the pages and see myself in them, that my perspective on everything changed. The hope that I saw in those pages wasn't like reading a textbook of history. It was a living, breathing book of truth that was still changing me today. And one of those books is the book of Romans. And in chapter 8, verses 11, it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit," the Bible says, "that same power that God used to pull his son out of the grave, that same power is available," and the Bible says, "lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies," or hope and new breath to the areas of your life that you feel are sickly or ailing or dead. Maybe some of us have dreams that are long since dead and buried, and we have thought nothing of them for years, but God is blowing new life again into your life and into those dreams to bring them alive. As the Bible says, this same Spirit now lives within us, that Spirit that raised him from the dead. Now, this wasn't a one-time deal. God has always intended for his power to be at work in our lives. Easter is not just something that comes and goes as far as a date on a calendar. It's a powerful, powerful day. And I think the best way to maybe look at that verse and apply it to our lives is to think about your life right now, to think about areas of your life that maybe need some life, that need some hope, areas that without God's hand at work, it won't change, areas in your life that would require a miracle to change. When you think of those areas, then you begin to apply this scripture to know that God can bring resurrection power into those areas to bring about miracles. So if I was to summarize this first truth about Easter, is that this is not a day or a holiday to just celebrate and to look back on and say, oh, Jesus was awesome. Look at all the things he did. This is a day that we can actually experience that same resurrection power, the same God power that pulled him out of the ground is at work within you and I. You know, when we have a birthday, we celebrate that day because you've had many years that you've enjoyed your life, and now you're celebrating a new one. But it's not just a day to look back and go, oh, those are the good old days. This Saturday, April the 27th, is my birthday. I'm 52 years young. That's right. And so that day is not just a day for me to look back and go, oh, remember the younger days, right? When those digits were reversed and it was 25 instead of 52. You know, I don't look back and mourn the days like I wish I was back there again. As a matter of fact, I stand in the here and now and embrace today. I embrace with expectation that the best is still yet to come, that whatever God has for me is still unfolding, still being walked out in my life. So don't celebrate Easter today like you would a birthday longing for better days. Celebrate it the way that it should be celebrated, your birthday or this day, to say that today we're going to embrace his power in this moment and look ahead with expectation to what he's going to do. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So your story of hope, my story of hope, is still being written. And the hope of Easter is Christ. And that makes all the difference in the stories that we have. And that same resurrection power that blew the stone away is at work in you, or can be, breathing new life into the areas of your life where maybe you've just given up on. Maybe in your own strength you've tried a million times. Maybe fear has gripped you, apprehension. Maybe a number of things have held you back. But the title of my message today is Forever Hopeful. Forever hopeful, because it speaks about something beyond the day that we're in, to a forever potential. Now, as great as all of that is, as great as, you know, seeing marriages restored and relationships strengthened, seeing people's lives change, seeing dreams reactivated, as awesome as all of those things are, let me show you something in Scripture that speaks to a miracle that's even greater than all of those on that list. Because we could sit and probably rhyme off a bunch of miracles that Jesus did, but Jesus was always speaking about something beyond the moment and something that he was trying to frame up for the disciples that we see here in the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 10, this is a moment in the ministry of Christ where his popularity numbers were through the roof. People were starting to follow him wherever he went. He was healing, raising people from the dead. Things were happening. There was a buzz. Some people thought he was David Copperfield doing incredible tricks in the street because they didn't understand it was God's power. But they still wanted to see it, so they were following him wherever he went. Other people knew this was the Son of God. He was doing something that had been foretold for many, many years. But the crowds began to build, and crowd control became an issue. And it was clear to Christ that in that moment that he as one person could not get to all the people. Now, over the course of biblical history, we hear a lot about disciples. And as soon as we hear the word disciple, we probably think of the 12. You know, they're in the picture. You know, some are leaning on Jesus, some are close, some are holding a mug, some are eating some bread. We get that Last Supper picture of those 12 guys in that moment. But the truth was that in the ministry of Christ, there was many more disciples than just the 12. Those were the ones that were closest to him that we see in Scripture had written and penned these words that we now hold dear to our hearts. But in the day, there was many more people praying and doing the works of God, really speaking to God's eternal plan for all of us, that he never intended it for just one man or a handful of 12 to be the ones who did the work of the ministry. He wanted to raise up every member to be a minister, to give everyone an opportunity to allow the power of God to flow in and through their lives. And so in this particular part of Scripture, There's so many people that he actually sends 72 of them out. 72 disciples that were instructed, listen, you've seen me do it. You've seen me pray for people. Up until that point, a lot of them probably thought it was something in his touch. You know, it was power coming out of his fingers. So they didn't see themselves in that way. But he's saying, the same authority that I have, I'm giving to you. And as you go and pray for people in my name, those same things will happen. Some of them were skeptical. Some of them thought, giddy up, let's try this. I want to be a part of it. And so they went out and they began to pray for the multitudes. And then we pick it up in Luke 10, 17 to 20. And it says, the 72 returned. They returned from praying for people with great joy. So they were pumped up. They were so excited. And what they were excited about is they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. So they were excited because it was working. Have you ever prayed for somebody or prayed for something in your life and it actually works? It seems like sometimes we're like, oh, I'm surprised. You know, like I love God, I trust God, but I actually prayed for this and it worked. This was the disciples in that moment. Jesus, we went out and we did what you said. We prayed in your name. We prayed for those that were sick and they were healed. We prayed for those that were lost and they were found. It works. And so he was wanting to commend their faith and their ability, but he was also wanting them to keep their focus in the proper place. They thought, man, we've got this power over demons. And Jesus quickly responds and he says, you know what? I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing, absolutely nothing will harm you. So he's basically saying to his disciples, of course it works. Like, before the beginning of time, I was actually there in heaven. So the fact that demons are subject to you, listen, I saw my Father kick Satan out of heaven. And it happened, boom, just like that. The Bible says he fell like lightning. So it wasn't much of a fight. It wasn't like 10 rounds and it could go either way. No, like lightning, he fell and it was over. So he's saying, this is what I saw. This is what happened. And then he speaks this one word that if you ever see in Scripture, you need to kind of pay attention because he's about to refocus us. He says, however, this unique word speaks to focus. He said, I know it's pretty fantastic. I know what you're seeing happen is amazing. But the greatest miracle of all has little to do with the here and now and has more to do with forever. And I want you to focus on that. He says, do not rejoice that spirits are subject to you or submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So he's saying, rejoice in the forever hope that I'm giving you. So here's really what I want you to take from today, from Easter Sunday. Resurrections still happen. Resurrections still happen in marriages and families and relationships and business and finances and the things that you struggle with. God is still doing miracles today in our everyday. That's still happening. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But as good as all of that is, it's still not the greatest of all. You see, the good news is that all that Jesus did on the cross gives us that hope for the here and now. That's good news. I think we'd all agree with that. But the great news is that his resurrection has also secured for us a forever hope that goes beyond today. I've had many people that have said, you know, I always wonder, Pastor Steve, what's next? You know, what's gonna happen when the race is done? When I close my eyes, what will I open my eyes to? Will I open them at all? People have questions about eternity. People have wondered about that for years. But when you know Jesus in a personal way, when you have that relationship, someday you and I will pass from this world to the next, and we will spend our eternity with him. And so being forever hopeful takes the sting out of what the earth can affect us with today. Here's another example. Jesus said to them, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body. Now, we go to great lengths to protect the body, right? Sometimes we're fearful of what can happen in this world to the body. So we have, seat belts and airbags. We have life insurance. We have doctors to keep us going. We try to do whatever we can to make our lives last as long as possible. So Jesus in the scripture is basically saying, listen, use the common sense. Use the wisdom that I've given you to look after yourself, to protect those that you love. That's important. But don't fear the one that can take your life, because you need to be more concerned about your eternal existence than your here and now. Now, why would he say that? Because Jesus was able firsthand to speak to the reality of heaven and hell. He knows what both options look like. And so he knows that in everything that they brought to him, that he was always putting back into their focus forever. What does forever look like? That's a long time. And so you better make sure that you have a reservation. You better make sure that you understand what you need to do to walk into that forever. Our lives on this earth are a little blip on a screen. It's a vapor that comes and goes. And so we need to understand that the greater part of our life, the bigger part of our existence is still yet to come. Titus 2:13 says, while we wait for the blessed hope, talking about his return, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, he's coming back someday. He's coming back to start a whole new chapter that he wants you to be a part of. But while Jesus walked the planet, and even now today in his word, he was famous for the redirect. He was always redirecting people to what was really important. When the disciples came to him with a long list of earth problems, this is the struggle, Jesus. This is how real it is. Like, can you help us with this stuff? Jesus would always look at them and say, fear not. Certainly, I'll help you with those situations in your life. But he would always respond to their earthly struggles with a forever solution. He would always direct them to eternity. You see, sometimes we get so preoccupied with the here and now, with every day that we live, that sometimes we lose sight of what's coming next, when in fact it's more important than even what we're experiencing today. And so he always was comforting people with an eternal perspective. John 14, 1-2 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, so believe in me also. Jesus could have stopped right there, full stop, and that would have been encouraging to us. We would have said, thank you, Messiah, those are good words. But he didn't stop there. He wanted them to see further down the road, further ahead in what they had been created for. And he wants the same of you and I today. He wants us to look past the here and now. And he says in verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? In other words, this, the here and now, this is for now. It's going to pass someday. But what's coming next is forever. And so he was always redirecting them to that. So don't be discouraged with the here and now. Don't allow it to bury you, because the best is still ahead of us. Just hang in there, because when we trust him, he will see us through these difficult times. And he offers more than a better today. He offers us a better place, that we are actually headed somewhere. And I want to give all of you that opportunity today to experience that. That forever hope changes everything about how you wake up in the morning, how you go to work, how you live your life. It changes all of that. Here's one of the greatest Easter Sunday verses in my mind of all time. Jesus basically is saying, I didn't just get resurrected. John 11:25-26 says, I am the resurrection. I define it. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So even death will not defeat you. Death does not have victory over you. And as strange as it sounds, death is not the end of your life. It is just the beginning. And whoever lives by believing in me, he says, will never die. Do you believe this? My question to you today is, do you believe this? Because if you do, you would live each day differently. You would live each day knowing that we are moving towards something much greater. Sometimes we look around us and seems like things are getting darker and worse and things are happening. And we're like, how will it ever get better? And yet in the midst of that darkness, his light is blaring through the night and still offering hope. But today, I want you to replace your forever fear with being forever hopeful, because it will cause you to live differently. And when you have that forever hope living inside of you, nothing can defeat you. No situation, no scenario that the devil puts in your way to overcome you will destroy you, because you are living with a forever hope. And so when you believe on Jesus, earth really is as close to hell as you'll ever get. It only gets better from here on in. But the flip side of that statement is true. That if you haven't believed in Jesus yet, earth is as close to heaven as you're ever going to get. It only gets worse without him. And so today is an opportunity for you to change what's going on in here, inside your heart, your hope. 1 John 5:13 says this: "These things, John said, have I written to you, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know that. Wouldn't you want to have that assurance? I know I would. It says believe on, not believe in, believe on the name of the Son of God. See, a lot of people believe in God today, and they think that's enough. Maybe because they're Canadian. Maybe because they go to church on Easter and Christmas. I believe in God. My parents believed in God. Their parents believed in God. It's family tradition, believing in God. But believing on God and his ability is a much different thing. Believing on has more to do with putting your life into his hands, putting all your fears, all your concerns on him. And then he allows you to navigate through that. See, it's not enough to acknowledge that he did these things, to look back on Easter and what he did and go, that's a great thing. See, God wants you to take a bigger step today. A bigger step in believing on his ability, where you take some risk. You put it all on him. Believing on is not just saying, I accept the fact. Believing on is saying, here's my life, my dreams, my hopes, everything about who I am, my weaknesses, my strengths, it's all yours. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved from confusion, from sickness. You will be saved from sickness in every part of your body, spirit, soul, and every aspect of who you are will be made right. You can be saved from those things. But it comes from acknowledging who he is in this moment. Today, you can experience a life that is forever hopeful, not one that's forever fearful. This can be a new beginning, a fresh start, a wonderful new chapter in the story that God is writing in your life. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Father, we thank you today for the hope that is this day. You are our hope. You were not just resurrected. You are the resurrection. I pray for each person today that you would be that resurrection life in the dead parts of their life, that you would breathe new hope, new potential into who they are, but that you would also give us a glimpse of what's to come, to know that as great as all of this is, the greatest miracle is still to come. It's that place you've reserved for us and prepared for us. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to give those of you that are here today an opportunity to pray. I want to pray for you today that you would know that you would know that you would know that reality, that you can have an assurance of your eternity by simply saying yes. Some of you have never said yes. Some of you have never made that commitment before. Maybe you're here today visiting for the first time. This is an opportunity for you to experience the reality of Easter. Some of you are here today because something inside of you keeps pulling you back to him. And maybe in your life you've become distracted and you've sought after other things. And today God is redirecting you. He's refocusing your life. If that's you today, I want to pray for you too. And in this church, in our church called Calvary, nobody prays alone. We always pray together. So we're going to pray today. And if you'll say to me, Pastor Steve, I need Jesus. I need to know what you're talking about. I need that hope in my life. And I've never prayed that prayer. Today, you can pray that prayer for the first time. And maybe your heart's beating out of your chest right now, and you know that's you. And maybe those of you that are being called back know that this is your opportunity. Easter 2019, a turning point in your life. You will never be the same again. I want to pray for both groups of people, those coming to him for the first time and those coming back to him. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to do something bold, not to step out of your seat, not even to come forward. I don't want to embarrass you in any way, but I do want you to take a step. So as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you slip up your hand nice and high in the air and say, please pray for me. Please include me in that prayer. Yes, thank you, right there. Right down here in the front, thank you so much. Over here on the side, thank you, ma'am. You say, Pastor Steve, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Pray for me. Yes, sir, right down here on the front, thank you. This is your opportunity. Thank you. Those hands, yeah, thank you over there. Young lady, that's awesome. Today's your opportunity. Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. The decisions made today will affect the rest of your days. You can be forever hopeful and not gripped by fear and brokenness. As you've raised your hand, if there's anybody else, I don't want to miss you in this moment. Just slip up your hand nice and high. And once you have, you can drop it back down. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. That's wonderful, so wonderful. All right, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, Calvary, would you pray this out loud with me, with all those that are praying it perhaps for the first time, or those that are being redirected and coming back to him. Pray this prayer with me. Would you, Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your hope. I ask that you come into my heart to forgive me of my sins, to be my Lord, to be my Savior, to give me forever hope, to know that I will always be with you. Help me each day to tell my story to those that need to hear it. And help me to grow in my faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Calvary, put your hands together. Congratulate everybody that made those decisions. What an honor it is for me, for our team, to be here today. We are here for what you just prayed. That's what it's all about. And you'll hear more in just a moment, but in the seat pocket in front of you, you'll see some colorful cards, three of them to be exact. One is yellow. It's called I Have Decided. Would you take some time, even right now, take one of the pens and one of those cards and just write down your name and your email. I'd love to send you some resources to help you in your walk of faith, to make sure that you grow and continue to grow. And so when you fill that out, drop it in the bucket when it comes by later, or give it to somebody with a Calvary, Team Calvary tag, or drop it at the Welcome Center. But we're here to help you. And can I also say this? Can I be as bold to say this? Please find a church. Find a church where you can plant your roots and learn more about Jesus. Learn more about what the Bible says about your life. Find a group of people that you can do life with. And if you don't know where to find a good church, I know where to find one. You're sitting in it right here. It's my favorite. If I wasn't pastoring this church, I would be bringing my family to this church. This is a fantastic place to grow, to find yourself connected to a group of people that love God and love people that are heading in the same direction. So make sure that in your decision to grow, you make sure you're planted in good ground. Because when you are, and that ground is nourished, you will grow in your faith. God bless you all.